Okay.
Okay,
Okay, ready? Zeichen Nishmas Avi Mori Akim Ben Yisrael Pilcha Zeichen Nishmas Daniel Shein Mas Yoshua Falach. Okay, good morning, everybody. Okay, we're holding now right before Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol, and it's very exciting times. And right before the Pesach Seder is coming up. And it's also Parshas Metzora. It's also Parshas Metzora. You know, I was in at a bris yesterday in Five Town, so I bumped into my friend Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. So he we were discussing the idea of certain parshiyos falling out certain times of the year. In other words, he pointed out to me, Rabbi Gladstein, that the parshiyos that are really in Gemara that have to fall out a certain time of the year. As Rabbi Glassley pointed out, is the tochacha. In other words, the Bechuk Kosai has to fall out before Shavuos, and the Kisavo is before Rosh Hashanah, because we want Tichlashana v'kiloseha. But in terms of other parshiyos, as Rabbi Glassley pointed out, there are some Ramazim, and there even Rishonim point out, he pointed out, Rabbi Gladstein, that usually Shabbos HaGadol is Parshas Tzav. And as Rabbi Gladstein pointed out, Rabbi Gladstein pointed out, it's brought down that that Heksha Kalim is on Parshas Tzav, so that makes very good, connection with Pesach. Metzora, it comes out Shabbos HaGadol usually when it's a leap year, and then as he Rabbi Glassman pointed out, then it's more a question of drush connections and things like that. So we'll try to speak about that as well, the connection of Metzora and Parsha and Pesach. Okay, but let's. Somebody came to me in shul today and told me that Baruch Hashem, he's going to be making a bris on Monday. So that you won't have to, as people were saying, you don't have to go to see him. You will just come to my bris. I'm not a Bechor anyway, but I have one of my sons is a Bechor, so I used to, so for many years I didn't have to look for see him or anything like that. And then when my son was younger, so then I made sure be able to see him because I would fast. I didn't actually fast, but I would have had to maybe fast on his behalf. Now he's old enough to do it on his own. But so he said, this year we're having a bris on Erev Pesach. So so the story of so it's interesting. There's a teshuva in the Noda Yehuda, and the Noda Yehuda says that people used to, if they had a bris sometime before Pesach, they would push it off just to do it on Erev Pesach. And this way you had the Seudas Mitzvah on Erev Pesach. So the Yehuda says that's not a good thing. That's a very improper hanhaga because you're supposed to do the bris on Yom HaShemini to push it off on Erev Pesach. To Erev Pesach, it's not a proper thing to do. So this reminds me of a story that Rabbi Mordechai Willig Shlita said over about a certain person who was a very medaktik b'mitzvahs. So many years ago, Rabbi Willig said he made a bris for one of his sons on Erev Pesach. So this person who's a very medaktik b'mitzvahs, asked him, "Could he? Can I come to you to your son's bris?" So he said, "Of course." But what was the vort? Because he says, "I go." Well, the fellow's idea was, the fellow said, "I go to a siyum, so I don't know if any given siyum is fully legit. Maybe the guy skipped a couple of lines, maybe he didn't fully understand something. So but I go to a bris, I know that the Seudas Mitzvah is legit, and that's why he asked him if he could come to the Seudas Mitzvah on Erev Pesach. So he said sure. That was the." What this person said.
What's the opinion of Ben on Erev Pesach? And they also had a siyum. I said, you don't need a siyum, it's a pidyon aben.
Yeah.
But they did it anyway.
They're so used to having CUV. Now, every once in a while, people will call up that they're going away and they're going to be on the plane during the time of the CUV. They have to leave early, da, da, da. They didn't realize that, all these things. Rav Henkin is quoted saying, that you could be poda the tainus b'tzedakah, that you could give some if it's a bechor, and he doesn't have a siyum, he could be poda the tainus, with some tzedakah. So that's another possibility. I believe in one place, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Meir Mazuz. And Meir Mazuz is a big Rosh Yeshiva in this Yeshiva Kisei HaRachamim in Bnei Brak, where he seems to point out this is not the generally accepted shita. He says, "Bezman Chazal." So when the Bai says, "Tasty," that when I make a, I finish Masechta, I make a siyum for, Yom Tavolo for all the Rabbanim and the, all the people. So he says, what kind of siyum was he talking about? So he says he was an Amora. What was the si, the Gemara probably wasn't even written then. So what was the siyum? So he thought that the siyum was a siyum of Mishnayis, and he thought that when the Gemara speaks about a siyum, it was talking about a siyum even just on a Masechta of Mishnayis. Which is an interesting notion that maybe when the Abai is speaking about a Siyam, he's not speaking about a Siyam or a Gemara, where he's in the Amora, so it wasn't even probably put together yet. So he was talking about a Siyam of Mishnah, and maybe he doesn't necessarily mean a whole Seder or a whole. Usually today we assume you only make a Siyam Mishnah, you make the whole Shisha Seder Mishnah, or maybe at least a Seder. He thought that when they were talking about a siyum in the time of the Gemara, they were talking about a siyum of Mishnayis and a Masechta Mishnayis. Okay, so these are various discussions of what you can do to not have to fast on if you're a Bechor, either to actually go to a siyum or go to a Seudas Mitzvah, like a Mila, Pidyon HaBen, etc. Or the Rav Henkin said, from climate edition has it, I believe, to just be poded but stuck. Just give some stuff if you're in such a situation where you're traveling and you have to leave early and you're not going to get to see him, v'chulei. Okay, so that is this. Now, you know that Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that the only mitzvah left that we have today of eating is the mitzvah of eating matzah the night of the Seder. Because most of the mitzvahs achila that exist in the Torah are like karbanos, things like that. We don't have karbanos. The mitzvah of achila per se, where the Torah says that you have to eat, is by matzah. So what about Suda Shabbos? The Suda Shabbos, as the post can point out, is not really a mitzvah of achila. The Suda Shabbos is the enjoyment. And every once in a while, most people enjoy eating. That's what most people do. But every once in a while, you're not feeling so well, so you won't enjoy eating. So then it wouldn't be a fulfillment just to stuff down, a challah. You're not enjoying it at all. You're just doing it to stuff down. You're really not fulfilling the mitzvah properly. So therefore, but by matzah, even if you're not enjoying it, we're not talking about you're going to get sick or something like that. That it's a whole discussion. But if you're not enjoying it, you still have to eat it because it's a mitzvah of achila, per se. And It's interesting that by Dalit Kosos, so people have the best, obviously, the Dalit Kosos is to use wine. We use wine and cook red wine. I happen to use Malvasia. That's my, so I'm a person who likes Moscato the whole year, the white Moscato I have the whole year. But on Pesach, the Dom, red, so we have red wine. So we have the, I like to have the Malvasia, it's like 5% alcohol. And then I can be able to stomach four courses of 5% or something like that. But if it would be too much more, I don't know how I would deal with that. But there's a question of if a person can't have wine or grape juice. I'm not the biggest grape juice fan, because there's a question whether grape juice is really Baruch Rabdolfan, because the grape juice of today is pasteurized and it can't theoretically intoxicate. In other words, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, you could have grape juice, but that grape juice, some poskim hold, that's only grape juice that you didn't do anything to it. But then if you leave it around long enough, it potentially could, ferment and intoxicate. But the grape juice of today is questionable whether even if you leave it there a year, it's going to intoxicate. I don't know how much it's going to really intoxicate. So it became a kumo that people make a Bari Pirogofen of grape juice. So, but even if it's not a Bari Pirogofen, maybe you could say it's Chamar Medina. And in other words, the post-game the Mariel discusses that maybe for Dalatosis, you could even also be Yotze with Chamar Medina. So I would think not everyone, it's a machlokas for Chamar Medina. I think the best Chamar Medina we have today in America. You know what I would think?
Diet Coke.
No, coffee.
Got
Coffee. Coffee.
is
Coffee is.
wait, is tea included? Tea also, or just like hot tea, or just hot coffee, you're saying?
So that's the question. Is tea really? You see, water is one thing you can't. It's not Chamar Medina water. But the
Right.
question is, what's considered just flavored water? And, so there are some opinions that soda could be considered, like what you were saying. What's his name? Rabbi Aryeh Zeev Ginsberg. He's a Chafetz Chaim person, right?
We know
So,
you said very well.
yeah. So he wrote that Sefer Divrei Chachamim. He went around collecting different psukim from different rabbanim. I think he quotes from Rav Scheinberg that he thought that soda, like what Johnny just said, Diet Coke. But so many hold that that's just flavored water. So, and water is not Chamar Medina. So
So the question I think I
the
once
question is, so maybe one second, maybe you could say that coffee is also just flavored water. Or do you say no, the coffee, the is it just flavoring the water, the coffee? Maybe, so maybe, because the question is like this, is one of my friends said to me, Rabbi Gedalia Berger said to me, even if grape juice is not really wine, but maybe it's, it should be like considered like Chamar Medina. But I don't know if grape juice, people don't drink grape juice. How many people just drink grape juice? If it wouldn't be for you're making, it's not maybe orange juice, I think, would be a much better candidate, if it's pure.
Kids like grape juice. I mean, I
Kid
know my
like grape.
grandchildren like
On
grape juice.
many airline meals, especially like business class, they have grape juice included.
Interesting. I don't know, but I don't
Is
see
there
people.
a
Like,
is there
I
a
can see people. You invite people to your house for a cup of coffee. I don't think you ever invited people to your house to drink grape juice. But
Is there a chilek between something between whether if it's just flavored water or if it has sugar in it, then it becomes a matcha. Like for instance, like coffee, if it has sugar and milk in it, then it's a matcha as opposed to just flavored water. Or if it's Coke, then it's a matcha. If it's like Diet Coke, which just has like chemicals in it, maybe it's not. I heard a discussion about it. No
Yeah,
soccer.
or maybe orange juice could be another example of people drink orange juice, and that, I'm not talking about the ones that are just water flavored water, but the real, pure orange juice, and that also could be. There is also a discussion, you should realize, whether you never thought about this, but there is a discussion in the Prima Gundam whether coffee is kidneys or not. Because you have the coffee beans, it's maybe it's like
But
kidneys.
the coffee bean is really a misnomer because really it's from a bush, not from a, it's not a bean, it's not a legume.
Okay,
I think that's.
but it's still even if you're from a bush, it's but the general sheet is that coffee is not kidneys. So you could have kosher Pesach coffee. There's also a discussion that the poskim have, the Prima Gadim has this discussion, and the Chayadim has this discussion whether potatoes are kidneys. Now imagine if potatoes would be kidneys, you'd have nothing left to eat, And that's good for the reason that they say it, because one of the reasons for kidneys is because they would make it, you would bake from it, so you would make it come to confuse it with a baked thing, a baked product from wheat, which could ferment and become chametz, in contrast to a baked product from potato starch, which you don't have to worry, it's not going to become, it's not chametz. So they can, so dafka the things that you can make goods from are the things, but it could be, it has to be like smaller objects, like kernels, something similar to that. And but this was the Chai Adam writes in the Nishmas Adam that it was one year there was a famine or whatever, and people didn't have what to eat, and they mattered potatoes for Pesach. Bulbous. They mounted bulbous for Pesach. But as someone pointed out to me, but you see, but before that, the assumption was that it was kidneys. So it's a fascinating thing. There's a discussion about quinoa, of amachmir to treat quinoa like kidneys. Because it's also, small little things that are similar to chita, small chitas and things like that. Now, the din is that if you have rov kos, that's good enough. If rov kos, then you don't have to have the whole kos. The dal kos is, you have rov kos is enough. But that's an interesting, funny type of halacha, because would you say that it's enough to have rov kazayis? Right? You can't have rov kazayis. You have to have the kazayis of matzah. Why by kos? You can have rov kos. Right? So whatever the shiur, then there's a further discussion in the Ramban. If you have a very, does rov kos mean the rov shiur of a kos? Say a kos is, I don't know, 3.3 ounces, whatever they say from Rav Moshe or whatever. But you have to rove of that. But what if you have a physical kos that's much bigger? That's 8 ounces. So would you therefore have to have 4.1 ounces? So the Ramban says, yeah, maybe you have to have 4.1. No, that's why the kos can say the best is not to have such a big kos. So this way you'll fulfill the idea of having rove kos together with and you won't have to be machmir that if the kos is too big, then you have to have the rove of that particular kos. So don't get a 10 ounce kos or something like that. get a regular toast that's 4 or 5 ounces, and then that's okay. But if you get a toast that's 10 ounces, so then that sometimes that's you'll leave that to Elio Hanavi, right? They have that's the coast. Even though, Rav Schechter pointed out, and my friend Dr. Rabbi Dr. Alan Weissman wrote in his English book to Rav Schechter's things on the Haggadah, that Rav Schechter thought there's no real source that Eliyahu HaNavi is at the Seder. It's by a bris milah, as Schechter pointed out, that's brought down that he I think in the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, that he comes to every Seder. People, real source meaning was that's like a Medrash, Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, that but okay, even if he's not there, but there's a kosher Eliyahu, where people would look to see, oh, do you see he's drinking it? Do you see it's the water, the wine is moving. So Rav Schechter is of the opinion that he doesn't think there's any real makor for Eliyahu Navi coming to the Seder. So Eliyahu Navi comes to Bris Milah. So other things. So the Chasam Sofer asked the question, how come there's a din of rove by dal kosis, but you don't have rove by matzah? So he explains that rove has to be rubo mitoch kulo. In other words, like this, you have to have a framework. What's the framework? You have a kos or a shir kos. So then you can have rove of that. But by matzah, there's no framework. In other words, there's no din that you have to eat it from a matzah. You can eat, you have little pieces, that's also good. So there's no, it's no meat, it has to be rubo bitoch kulo. And there's no bitoch kulo by matzah. It's just a shear. And the fact that we're eating it from a one big matzah, but there's no chiyuv to eat it from one big matzah. But by dal kosher, you have to have drink it from a kos or from a shear kos, or the shear of a kos. So therefore, it's bitoch kulo. It's just like Chasam Sofer says that you don't say if you have for a minyan, you don't say, oh, we have six people, that's good enough. Rove is good. It could be if you have six, seven, you have 10 people, and 6 or 7 didn't daven yet. So then you have, that could be still tefillah betzibur because you have the tzibur there. It's rove bitoch kulo. But rove is not good. It's unless if it's toch kulo. That's the tosis above a kama. When you have for a bezdin, so you have rove of the bezdin paskening one way. So then the halacha is then it's rove rubo mitoch kulo. But you have to have kulo there. You have to have the full. You have to have tchreis 23 dayanim for dinei nefashos. And then if you have 13 says one way and 10 the other way, then it's considered a psak. As many point out, it's considered based on the Tosas, many point out that it's considered a psak from all 23 dayanim, because it's rubo kulo is only rubo mitoch kulo. You need a misgeret of kulo. You need the 23. You don't say, well, 13 dayanim showed up. You need 23 dayanim to be there. 13 showed up, and already 12 out of 1 paskin one way. So even if the other 10 would be here, he still would win. I mean, we'll say it's 14 to, well, from 14 to 2, and but not only 23 all 23 showed up, so you still need more. But even if all the more were passing the other way, we'd still win. No, it has to be rubo mitoch kulo. That's the hagdara of the chas, and by a minyan also, you can have. Some people already davened already, but you have to have the 10 there. It has to be mitoch kulo. But by matzah, it's not shaykh mitoch kulo, because there's no halos to kulo of the matzah. You have to have a kazayis. You don't have to have a kazayis from a matzah that has a kazayis. You don't have to have a piece that's a kazayis and you're eating it from that piece. If even if you had little, after you made your motzi and you had your sholem, whatever, you broke it up into pieces and you eat those pieces, that's also good. You don't have to have be tof kulo, but by the kos, you have to have the roe from the kulo, from the kos, or shear kos, you have to have. And the same thing by the minyan, the Chasam Sofer says. You have to have 7 out of 10, but or for a bezdin, you have to have a place 14 out of 23, but you have to have all the 23 there. You have to have the mezkeret tof kulo. And that's why when it comes to dalet kosos, we say it has to be mitoch chulin, and rove is good enough. Rav Shechter always points out from the Gemara and chulin that l'chatchila you're always supposed to have chulo. You shouldn't rely on rove or chulo unless you need to. But the best is, I believe, to have the low alcohol wine for Pesach that's red. That's why I have the Melvasia. It's only like 5%. And
15 miles an hour Saturday.
yeah.
Around him.
Yeah. Okay. We mentioned before that Parshas Metsora is this week's Parsha. So Metsora, of course, is for the Lashon Hara, Dibur. A lot has to do with Dibur. And Leil Seder is a lot to do with Dibur. We got it to Levincha. It's a question whether, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein once gave a shiur on this, that do you say Shomei Ka'ona by Haggadah Shel Pesach? Could you have one person say the Haggadah and everyone else will just listen? So the simple pshat of the Gemara, it seems that it's good, because the Gemara says, Man Omer Haggadah to Bei Rav Yosef. Man Omer, who is the one who said the Haggadah in Rav Yosef's house? Who's the one who said the Haggadah in Rav Sheshe's house? That's what the Gemara says. So what do you mean, who said the Haggadah? I thought everyone said it. So you see that, no, the practice was that one person used to say the Haggadah. One person would say the Haggadah, and maybe that would be a kiyum of Rovam Hadras Melech, because usually the better practice is by Kiddush Friday night. We have one person say the Haggadah. One person make Kiddush. I don't offer. Some people are nice. They say, would you like to make your own Kiddush? But I'm not consistent. I tell you, but sometimes when I go to other people's homes, I ask to make my own Kiddush. So why am I not consistent? Because I really hold you should have one Kiddush. Only if, because some people, very well-meaning people, unfortunately, don't articulate properly the words. They mumble, they just don't articulate, and then you don't. Then it's a question whether you don't say the Kiddush or not. They don't know how to say Shem Hashem properly. They mumble it, and so that's why, since so many people ask to say their own Kiddush, so even though I'm against that minute, but I'm afraid that I'm not going to be Yotzei properly because I don't know who's making the Kiddush and I can't be for sure that they're going to be articulate, then I'll ask to make my own Kiddush. But during the whole year, I just make one Kiddush for the whole, Chassidish Welt, especially Gera Chassidim. Everyone goes around the table and makes their own Kiddush. Takes a long time. It's interesting. Many people have the practice that even if during the year only one person makes the Kiddush, but the Pesach night, everyone at the table, at least the men, make their own Kiddush. Some people have that practice. I don't know if there really is any real makor for that. But really, even the whole Haggadah, the simple pshat of the Gemara, is that just one person says Haggadah and everyone listens. But Lemaisa, the minute today became that everyone says. But then there's a practice. You don't say it's really a minute. It's a practice. I think more of the modern circles have this practice. And that is they go around the table. You say this part. You say the Hachacham. You say the Rasha. That everyone, and men, women, children, they all say it. So especially if it's children might, it's not a chiyuv d'oraisa on them. So then, if you're not going to say it on your own, you won't listen. So the minhag today is that everyone says the whole thing, but you should say the whole thing. And if your family has this practice to go around the table and okay, this, you say the chacham, you say the rosh, you say the top, you say but you should also say along with it, because it could be that you'll get one of the people as the chatan or whatever, not really chayiv. So even though strictly speaking, the Gemara says that the practice at the time of the Gemara was that only one person said the Haggadah, and everyone else listened with Shomei Kaona. But practice today, so you should really say the whole thing. Unless it, and if you want to be Yotik, if you have the practice that everyone will say to makes their own Kiddush, so you can do that, even though, during the year, you don't necessarily do that. But Rabbi Tzvi Bajno Shlita once asked me, how come by the Dalal Tosos, the minhag is everyone says their own Borei Pri HaGafen, even though, technically speaking, you should only have one person saying it for everyone, because Ravam Hadras Melech. So, that became, in the old days, that's what a zimun was. A zimun was that one person said the benching for everybody. That was what the zimun was. Today, the problem is people don't have any concentration span, so they space out. So since everyone spaces out these days, so the meaning became that everyone says they're the whole benching themselves, even when you have a zimun, everyone still says the whole thing themselves, because everyone's. But really, even Hallel, the Gemara speaks about that one person says Hallel for everybody. You should the concept of Shomei Ka'una by Hallel. There's even a question by Sfiris HaOmer, because really by Sfiris HaOmer, you can we always know the din is we follow the Bahag sheet that if you miss one night, you finished, right? You can't count with a bracha anymore if you miss the night and the day. But the question is, so those listen to the Chazan, and maybe that's a better key. So some posts can hold that you don't say Shomei Ka'ona by Sfiris HaOmer because it says Sfartam Lochem. So everyone has to have their own sphere. But some say that that's not what it means. Other posts can say Sfartam Lochem just means that when it comes to counting the 49 years for Yovel, so the halacha is the Bezdin counts on behalf of everyone. So then Bezdin counts on behalf of everyone. So you might think that maybe the Bezdin should count on behalf of everyone by Sfira. So the answer is no, everyone needs their own Sfira. But when you have Shomei Kona, that would be your own Sfira also. Just like when you listen to Kiddush from somebody, but that became the meaning that everyone counts. And not only that everyone counts, but everyone who makes their own bracha. Even though technically speaking, maybe we should be all be yotzei with the bracha from the chazan. But that's how things evolved. So the mitzvah of Sipur of it has a lot to This week's parsha, there's a vort from the Belzer Rebbe, Rebbe Yeshua of Belz. He says a very important vort. He says the two birds in this week's parsha. How do you tell them? Sorry, you take two birds. One bird you shecht, and one bird you send yonder. So what's the idea? He says there are two averis the person could do when it comes to dibur. Number one, speaking improper things, lashon hara, onas dvarim, saying something that offends somebody. So we need kapara for that. So we take one. That's why we take one bird and we shecht. So to say to quiet the lashon hara, to quiet the improper speech, offensive speech to other people. That's one thing. But then there's a deeper idea. And that is, we also need atonement for things that we should have said that we didn't, that we could have spoken up on behalf of something, and we could have been proactive on behalf of something, and we didn't. There was not saying what you were supposed to have spoken. And that's the other bird. That's the bird that you send out that you don't kill. You send it out and say, keep on chirping, because sometimes you have to speak up when when it comes to some important things. You have to face, you could have said something nice to mechazik somebody, or you could have spoken up when somebody was being oppressed, or whatever things could be. That's the other bird. That's what the Bells of Rebbe says. The Rishu of Bells. Those are the two tziporim. The speech that we do say that we shouldn't say, and the speech that we don't say that we should say. And those are the kapara of the mitzvah of these two angles. So Pesach night is, we mentioned the other week, the Ari Gezal says Pesach is two words, Pesach, the mouth speaks. So it has to do a lot with the dibur hapeh, with the dibur hapeh of the mouth. And you got it to Labincha, it's an important idea of articulation, of speaking, of giving over the Masorah. In my Haggadah, I quote Rabbi Willick said over once, or Moshe Feinstein came to speak to the Orthodox Jewish scientists, and the drasha took place in YU in the library. And Rabbi Moshe said, and what's pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim that we say, "Magi devarav Yaakov, Kukov yishpotav v'yisrael lo asachem l'chol goyim"? That goyim don't have chukim and mishpatim. Magi devarav chukov and mishpatav. They have many law books and things like that. So what do we have that they don't have? Magi devarav Yaakov. So the Rav Moshe Feinstein said no. Before, as I really said over Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says, in the non-Jewish world, in other disciplines, if a person's disciplined, he'll read the textbooks and he'll master this particular field of knowledge. But when it comes to Torah, it had to be successful in Torah, you can't just have books, svarim. You have to have a live transmission, live Magid Dvar of Yaakov. You have to have a live Rebbe that you could hear from, that you could speak to. It's all about, and that's what we call it, Magid. Magid. It's about speech. It's about oral transmission. And that's the kapara for Mitzorah. And that's where this is Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Mitzorah, that we have to have the proper speech. We have to know when to speak and when not to speak. That's the Tutsipor. That's the Bells of Rebbe's foot. So I want to wish everyone a Chag Kosher Sameach. It's, I guess this will be our last year before Pesach together. So and Pesach is the man of transmission of Mesorah, transmission of our Emunah Bashem from father to son, and it's a wonderful opportunity. And Be'ez Hashem, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should the Baruch Yisrael need Shmira in Eretz Yisrael and elsewhere. And as things get difficult, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shomer Yisrael. We have Emunah, it's the Chag of Emunah, and we believe that everything that happens in the world is like is Hashem's Hashkacha. The Bnei Yisrael says in the pasuk, "He lay no yonah v'lo yishan Shomer Yisrael." Hashem is never asleep. Hashem is never asleep. Sometimes he looks like he's asleep, because it looks like things are just happening. But then we believe in Hashkachas Hashem in every regular. So I wish everyone this would be a meaningful Pesach, Chag Kosher V'Sameach, and even if it's, hopefully it should be the Gula, but even if it's not the full Gula, whatever personal needs we have, or the needs of Klal Yisrael, and especially Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael this time, should be a Gula, Refuah Shleimah V'Heirah V'Yameinu.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
See you.
All good. Be well. Bye bye, everybody. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.